Oh, shit. Welcome, everybody. This is the very first episode of the Neutral Corner here on Inside the Rope. And I am your host for today, Mike Moreno. You can call me Yogi Mike. You know what's up with that. And we are brought to you by Inside the Rope Boxing, of course, ITRBoxing.com for the latest news and headlines in the world of boxing. And make sure to download the app, too, Inside the Rope. But yeah, man, all that good stuff. It's a pleasure to be here, man. We're starting this up. Some of the old faces you guys might remember, even though you guys don't see them. But let me introduce you guys to the co-host for tonight, my dude, Felix Gracia, the owner of ITR Radio and Inside the Ropes Boxing. What's going on, Felix?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Good to be back on the air and good to be back with you guys, especially.
Yeah, that's what's going on, man. We definitely had this cooking up for a while, and we just couldn't get ourselves together and do this. But here we are, man. And, of course, we also got the best graphic designer in the game. You may not know him personally, but I'm pretty sure you've seen his work out there recently. Gennady Golovkin threw out one of his designs, calling out Canelo. And I'm talking about Hexar himself. What's going on, Hexar?
What's up? What's up? Not much. Just here. It feels good to be back on the podcast. Haven't done one in a while. So
yeah,
we'll
man.
See how this goes.
I'm glad you have time off your busy life to come join us, man.
Never too busy, never too busy, man.
Right. And finally, but not least, part-time writer for Supreme and for Supreme Boxing and part-time writer for Inside the Ropes, talking about my dude Memo. What's going on, Memo?
The random guy in the podcast right here, ready. I'm
Memo
ready for
Memo the landscaper.
That's what's up. Holding it down for the Mexicans out there, you know what I mean?
That's what's up, man. We got somebody representing all levels of the economy up in here, man. We got Hector, the rich guy, and then we got Felix, the owner of a big company. I got the working middle class, and then we got Memo.
Oh, thanks for that, guys. Thanks for that.
Fuck you, guys.
Nah, Memo, but, you know, it's good to have you here, man. Memo's a avid boxing fan, too, so, you know, we're on here, man. We ain't going to take ourselves seriously. We ain't going to say we're the best podcast out there.
Memo was one of the 200 people that actually went to Provonica of Bradley, right, Memo?
Oh, hell yeah. I was there, like, almost front row. That was the best fight I've ever gone to live.
You must have been
to this day.
You must have weren't you there on covering the fight for ITR?
What happened?
The reason he's there.
Weren't you there covering the fight?
Now we know.
ITR?
Now we know. You believe that?
Oh, no. So, oh, no, I'm bringing up old shit.
Hector Correa trying to praise Memo, and then the truth came out. He was only there because he got free tickets.
I was there calling the round by round for ITR, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, see, that's what we're talking about. That's exactly
Memo
what
was there handling. He was there handling the business, so that's what's up. So then he doesn't count for the 200 heads, because I don't think they count those in attendance, so they count credentialed people.
All right.
Nice try, Hexar.
Hey.
But now, man, Memo, yeah. Good thing you're on here, man. We have some good chemistry, so hopefully you guys like the show. Like I said, we won't take ourselves seriously because we're not. We're the neutral corner, but we'll be biased sometimes. We all got our fighters, so it is what it is, man. So,
yeah, what's good, guys?
This weekend's fight, or what? We're talking about this weekend's fight?
I'm guessing if we call ourselves boxing fans, even if we didn't agree with the mismatch that was Canelo versus Khan, I'm pretty sure everybody out there saw it. So, Memo, you're the hardcore boxing fan here. You go to fights no one else goes to, so let's go to you first, man. What did you think of Canelo versus Khan?
I'm a big Canelo fan, so I'm going to be biased right here. I'll say it straight out. But first of all, I want to say that Khan, before the knockout, actually won about 4 out of the 6 rounds. So he was actually on point. I mean, he wasn't landing the more meaningful shots, but he was landing more. I mean, the replays from HBO, biased HBO, will not show that, but he was winning almost every round. But we all knew it was coming. The knockout was coming. That was, we're just
it
waiting.
Was inevitable?
Yeah, it was inevitable. Come on,
I don't know who threw out a great analogy out there, but they were like, Khan had to pitch the perfect game, and he just left one ball right over the strike zone. And that's exactly what happened, man. Because, I mean, like you said, man, when he was fighting a good fight up to there, I mean, you could tell the speed was kind of bothering Canelo. I mean, he was making him miss wildly in the beginning. Canelo was looking kind of bad, I guess. But Khan was doing a great fight until he caught that hand. I was gonna say he caught those hands, but he didn't. He only caught one hand. So
yeah, that's all he needed. But yeah.
Damn.
What did you think, Felix?
I'm right there with Memo. I had Khan winning the fight up to that point, and it was crazy because in the fifth round, like before, right when the round ended, like Khan was like, he was too happy for me. Like he was smiling, he was grinning, he was like super confident, which is good in a way, but I think that's what really affected his performance because then that's when he started making mistakes. He wasn't focused anymore. He felt like he had it in the bag. And you could see it in the next round because, well, not only did he get knocked out, but he was starting to get hit a whole lot more.
So you think it got to his head? That you're telling me that early success was probably bad for his game plan at the end?
I think so. I definitely think so. If the fight would have been a little bit more competitive and maybe just a few swing rounds up until the midway point, we might have seen the same outcome, but maybe later on in the fight, eighth or ninth round or something. But I think that's what really affected him, because even in the last round, there was Canelo had landed a pretty big shot. I don't know if it was a left or a right, but I remember him landing a good shot to Khan, and Khan, instead of going back to the game plan, he like stopped Canelo and landed a couple of good big power shots of his own while Canelo's back was on the ropes too. So I think his pride was getting to him, and he was getting too confident for my liking.
Yeah, man. I mean, Khan definitely had it. Like we said, he had to pitch the perfect game, and I guess it got to his head at the end. Teddy, you were actually there, man.
Yeah, I was there. I was sitting with a few English fans. There were a few English fans in front of me, so they were just cheering the whole freaking fight, dude. And I knew Khan was being successful in the early rounds, but like everybody said, I think it started like in the fifth round. He started getting tagged a little more. The body, and then it was bound to happen, and it came in the sixth round.
Yeah, inevitable.
Inevitable.
Who said that?
But the fucking crowd went wild, dude, as soon as the knockout happened.
How about that?
It went wild, and then it went just to, like, everybody was like, oh, shit, Khan's not getting up.
I thought he was dead. I ain't even going to lie. When he fell and I saw his leg just kind of shoot out and twitch for a little bit, I was like, oh, shit. This
man, I think at the end of the day, what everybody expected happened. I know I expected Khan to give Canelo problems in the beginning, but we all know he was going to get caught. I mean, that's what everybody thought, and it did happen. So, I mean, do you guys have anything else about this fight? Because I want to stay on the Canelo subject, but I think you all know where I'm going with this. But anything else on the fight?
No.
Ya hay que dejarnos de mamadas.
That's a great segue, Memo, because now I want to bring you guys a question. Memo said when he started the conversation, he said, I'm a big Canelo fan, so I'm going to be biased. I was a huge Canelo fan. Coming into this fight, I was still a Canelo fan. But the way he's treating this whole middleweight champion thing, I mean, come on, let's just call it for what it is, man. Dude is ducking Golovkin. And it'll be all right to say, you know what, I'm not ready to face him. He's too big for me. You know, dump the belt and keep fighting in Canelo division, which is 155 at a catchweight. But don't go around with that belt saying you're the middleweight champion when you're not fighting middleweight. And like I said, I was a big fan coming into the fight, but all the excuses that he's putting for this fight, and then the fact that he fought Khan, which we know he can't even take a punch at 140 and dude went up to middleweight. I mean, for me, it's getting out of hand. I'm going to throw it back to you, Memo, because you're the Canelo fan, and I know Felix kind of agrees with me, so we'll take it step by step. What do you think about this, Memo?
All right, I'll take it like this. Check it out. I don't think that I look scared of. Oh, come on. I don't think Canelo's scared of GGG, and I don't think he's ducking that fight either. Do I think that maybe his promoter, Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, ducking it? Yeah, I think he is. He's protecting his prize fighter. But that's not Canelo's fault. I think Canelo's ready to fight him. I'll be honest. If they fight next, let's say maybe in the fall, I actually favor GGG, even though I'm a Canelo fan.
I don't think he's ducking him. I would agree 100% with you, but that's not the case with Canelo. Golden Boy, they don't want him to fight Lara. They don't want him to fight Trout. And Canelo pushed those fights to happen. Am I right or am I wrong?
That was when he was like the third or fourth biggest star in the boxing world. Now Mayweather is out. Pacquiao, he doesn't have the same appeal as he did, let's say, before the Mayweather fight. So there's only Miguel Cotto, and Canelo just beat him. So he's pretty much the next big star. So now he has to be more protected because he's the main dude. You know what I mean?
He already has a loss in his record. What is he protecting?
What happened?
Yeah,
he already has a loss on his record. What is he protecting?
His stardom. He's the main guy right now. Are you going to tell me somebody else is more popular than he is?
He will get more respect if he actually takes the fight.
Yeah, and I agree with you, but I'm sure Golden Boy doesn't agree.
Man, Golden Boy don't know nothing about promoting. That's why they are what they are. Felix, what do you think?
I mean, just like you said, man, I think Canelo, sometimes I think, you know, he does want the fight because, you know, boxers, they're one-of-a-kind athletes, you know, no matter who it is, actually. All respect to all fighters. I think they all want to fight everybody in there. But sometimes I do think maybe Triple G is a little bit of afraid. And I think he's in a very fortunate position to be able to hide behind Golden Boy because he knows they're going to protect him. And all the shit that he says after the fight, it's like, yeah, I invited Triple G in the ring because I'm not afraid. But, yeah, Triple G is on the other side of the ring, you know, being kept away from you. So, if it was a really something like that, you wanted to confront Triple G, then why not bring him up directly to you? I mean, we've seen it with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. We saw it with Shane Mosley and Floyd Mayweather. I mean, if you're really not afraid of him, why not bring him directly to you? And at the same time, you know, the whole, let's put the gloves back on and do it right now. So if you're willing to put your gloves back on and do it right now while you're weighing well over 155, why won't you sign a contract over 155? You are the middleweight champion. The limit is 160. Why won't you fight for your belt in your division? So, I mean, there's just, I don't know.
He hasn't fought a true middleweight yet, and he's a lineal middleweight champion.
And my only other thing with Canelo, too, is,
He's only been the middleweight champion for one. This is the second fight being a middleweight. Come on.
At middleweight, he's fought two guys who the best division in their careers was at welter and junior welter with Miguel Cotto and Amir Khan. Those are small guys.
Yeah, but one of them was that WBC middleweight champion, so you can't take that away from him. It's not his fault he was a WBC middleweight champion, you know what I mean?
Okay, but if he wants to keep that belt, do it the right way.
Exactly. You're a champion, be a fighting champion.
Cotto earned that belt. I can't believe I'm saying this. I respect more Cotto for fighting Sergio Martinez at 159 than Canelo.
I agree with that. I actually went for Martinez in that fight.
But I mean, Cotto moved. Look at the performances Martinez had, too. I mean, you know, he was plagued with injuries and whatnot, but still, I mean, that incredible one-punch knockout over a granite-chinned Paul Williams is enough to put fear in a lot of fighters. I mean, Floyd Mayweather didn't want to fight Paul Williams, but Sergio Martinez...
We're not going
to
get into the intangibles of Miguel Cotto taking that fight because we know Maravilla is well over the hump. Hegler, what's your say on this?
I think it's going to happen, dude. It's going to happen September or fall. I don't like that Cotto one. I mean, like another 155. I don't like that shit. He needs to fight at 160. Defend it properly.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If he doesn't want to move up, cool. I respect him for doing that. But don't say you're the middleweight champion and don't defend the belt against middleweight at middleweight. That's what I'm saying.
I would even accept it. I still would be like, okay, this is stupid. But I'd be okay if Canelo won, took the Triple G fight at a catchweight, but at the same time vacated the title. Like, I am so against catchweight fights when there's a title on the line. If you're fighting for a title, you should fight for that title in that division. No restrictions or any kind of wild stipulations. That's just my take.
That's somebody out in the hood.
It's Memo.
Why? Because he's a landscaper? You think he lives in the hood or what?
Precisely.
That's racial profiling right there, man.
That's exactly what's going on right now.
Yeah. Hey, like, when Mayweather and Canelo was announced, was anybody really expecting that fight?
Mayweather and Canelo?
Yeah, when it was first announced.
I still remember.
No.
Nobody thought it was going to happen.
Didn't it just, like, fucking hit people in the face, too?
Yeah.
That's why it was such a big fight.
Yeah.
I only knew one person who thought it was actually going to happen, and that was, what's his name? He's been in the boxing lab. Luis.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
That's the only person I always heard say, oh, it's going to happen next, going to happen next, because of the numbers with Guerrero and so the money. But outside of him, I don't think I heard anybody talk about it.
So you guys
think
don't,
we left.
I think it's going to happen. I don't know. I think it is.
Yeah, I think so. But we'll see.
Well, we'll have to wait and see and keep on hoping.
What is it, like 14 days or 12, 13 days left?
Oh, what's up with that? Give us a breakdown.
Because you know,
I don't know anything about it.
I think I understand it a little bit. Something about if it doesn't get made in these 14, 15 days they had, it goes into a purse bid. And since Golovkin is a interim champion, there's a 55-45 split, which I don't think Canelo will be too happy about that, you know?
Yeah.
Because obviously Canelo wants to make the most money out of the fight.
Oh, okay. So, I see what's going on. Yeah. I had not heard anything about that, so like I said.
Yeah, I was hearing something about that today. So.
But doesn't he still at the same time, within those 15 days, doesn't he have to sign the contract regardless? Otherwise he loses he's stripped of the WBC title?
Not really, because I'm telling you, it goes into purse bid after that.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're just going to have to wait and see. So, I mean, the best thing for Golden Boy is to make it happen in these 2 weeks they got.
Well, we'll see
how that goes. If they want Canelo to make the most money out of it.
Do you guys think that WBC will actually strip Canelo?
If they're going to follow the rules, have to.
Okay, but they're not really known for following the rules.
Exactly.
Man, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
I mean, if we just go back a few years, a few title changes ago, like didn't they just strip the title from Sergio Martinez because they wanted it to be on, you know, their poster child at that time, Chavez?
Wait, can you repeat that?
When they stripped Sergio Martinez of the title just so they could put it on Chavez, like, for whatever reason. Like, WBC never follows the rules.
That actually was HBO's fault.
Yeah, that was HBO's fault. They never accepted any of...
They didn't prove the number one contender that Sergio had a fight. They didn't prove that fight. So Sergio didn't take it, and he got stripped. But it was actually the same opponent that Chavez fought for the belt. Sebastian Spitz, which that's kind of messed up, I guess, from both sides, WBC and HBO. But it is what it is, man. Memo was saying about how Canelo is the biggest star in boxing right now. That's probably true. What do you guys make of the numbers, pay-per-view numbers?
What were the real numbers?
Well, at first they said it was 460, which is close to 500,000. And then Golden Boy came out and said that it was
600.
Oh, Golden Boy actually released it?
That's what they said. Golden Boy promoter Austin DeLoya told ESPN that Canelo Khan did around 600,000 pay-per-view buys. Labeled reports that it did 460 as totally absurd. So, I mean, I don't know how the real numbers get out to the public. I don't know if we know what the real numbers are. But even at 600,000, is that what the biggest bar in boxing draws at the moment?
Well, that's obviously more than Berto Mayweather, right? Did that even crack 400? I don't think that ever cracked 400, did it?
One thing we could say is Khan brings a lot of fans into the table, too, into the equation. I don't think it was 100% all Canelo. I mean, you said yourself, Teddy, how many English fans were there? A couple thousand?
That was a lot, yeah.
So, I mean, how many did you guys remember the Canelo Angulo numbers?
That was like 350 or something. Wasn't it like 350 or something?
Yeah, that's what I
said. Yeah, 350.
So, I mean, we have to give some credit to the Khan army out there.
Canelo and Cotto did 900,000. Yeah. That was definitely Canelo's biggest. I think it definitely has to, even though Khan does have a big army of fans, I think, you know, just basically the dance partner, I don't think, even with that being said, he doesn't have a huge name outside of, like, normal boxing fans and whatnot.
Plus, when I was in Vegas, I was hearing that a lot of Mexican press didn't come to the actual fight because everybody knew it was a mismatch. Like,
it wasn't a mismatch, to be honest, man.
What do you guys think about the comments made by Virgil and Khan after the fight? A lot of people say it was like they're being bitter, which it comes off that way, but I think it was just, you know, from the heart, like, you know, man up time.
Nah, yeah, it was exactly that. I fucking enjoy that. Because I want that fight to happen, that's why.
So, for those of us that didn't hear the after fight comments, what were they?
Basically, Virgil Hunter and Amir Khan just telling Canelo, like, you know, it's time to finally put up or shut up and fight Triple G. We moved up. You know, you got to show your balls and you got to move up and fight Triple G. Now that's the fight that the fans want. Something like that. It's not a direct quote, but something along those lines. I remember they referenced balls and whatnot.
Yeah. Khan said it to himself, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, but through all this, we got to give Khan credit, right, for taking this fight? Or you think it was all the money?
Oh, yeah.
I give him credit.
Because he wasn't there for a paycheck. He went out there with a game plan. He obviously trained hard. He focused. He knew what he had to do. And, you know, he just got caught.
Which he knew was going to happen sooner or later.
I think Canelo was frustrated, and that's something I read that Paulie Malignaggi had just recently said, that Canelo was frustrated, and he actually, in a way, in a sense, got lucky that he landed that punch, because he was having a harder time than he expected.
Yeah. Even though I thought Khan's speed was going to give him some problems, I don't think he's going to have as much success as he did. And like I said, Canelo did look frustrated in the beginning. He was swinging some wild shots and missing. He was looking pretty bad.
Yeah.
But Khan got caught. That glass chin got tested, and once again, it broke.
But I definitely will say, because I feel like we've been bashing Canelo a little bit, I will say that was a beautiful setup. That you could not have set up a knockout any more perfect than that. He fainted with a jab, Khan fell for it, and he guarded the wrong side of his body. He was expecting that jab to, you know, be thrown at him with full commitment. He moved right into the momentum of Canelo's punch. You know, just perfect placement of the punch, perfect setup from Canelo. Like, that was beautiful.
Yeah, I was nice, man. I mean, he's setting them up nicely. He did the same thing with Kirkland, not the technique, but he set them up.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked really good, like, technically.
Didn't it look like he threw that same punch, like, a little at the beginning of the round, but just barely missed? Or did he? I haven't really seen it on TV again.
Just like, yeah, I haven't watched it again yet either.
Me neither.
That's
not because I thought I saw a clip where he threw that same punch, and I think it landed, but it didn't. It just like hurt Khan a little, but to the second one that he landed, fucking took him out.
Yeah, it's funny because Khan's body just swung around the same way that he did.
The Danny Garcia. I know, dude. When that happened, I was like, "Oh shit! It looks like that design I made the first one." Remember?
Yeah.
I was like, going to live.
So Hector's over here predicting the future through his designs now. Is that what you're trying to say?
Nah, not even.
But yeah, man. Like I said, props to Khan for taking the fight. Canelo got the job done as he should. I think it was going to be very bad for him if that went the distance. But he did what he had to do, and it is what it is, man. Hopefully that Triple G fight happens, and we'll see it later on this year. If not,
like, I don't know if you guys can hear it on the telecast, but like people were cheering for Khan like after he got back up. Like,
oh nice.
They didn't give him the Ortiz treatment or anything, dude.
Okay. Oh, so man. So you're telling me nobody threw a pizza box at him?
No pizza boxes, nothing, dude.
Khan deserves credit, man. He deserves.
Nah, yeah. Everybody was getting on, like, props, dude. I was like, oh, shit.
You know what's crazy is I think Khan might be the biggest winner of this all because a lot of people, not only do they, more people know who he is now than ever before, and I see more people. Khan has always been, like, ridiculed in the boxing world. Anybody who's a big boxing fan knows that he's just constantly talked shit up to and this and made fun of everything. But now all I'm seeing is a bunch of memes and a bunch of props to Khan. He's got a bunch of heart. And, like, he's getting the respect he actually deserves. So I think he came out the biggest winner of the fight.
Yeah, definitely, because it's a weird situation, I guess you could say, because for the hardcore boxing fans, I think Canelo lost a little respect while Khan gained it. But to the – and I was seeing a lot of overreaction from the casual fan, like on my Facebook, on my Instagram, on my Snapchat. They were like, oh, Canelo destroyed this dude, like this isn't that. And like they don't know the story behind it. They don't know Khan was blown up. They don't know Khan is nowhere near that division. They just thought Canelo went out there and handled business against a world-class opposition. And
yeah,
that's what kind of sucks about it, because to the hardcore fan, we know what's going on there. But to the eyes and to the money and to the people that actually buy it, I mean, for them, it was amazing win and Canelo's the best and blah, blah, comparing them to the all-time greatest. But that's just the perception of boxing is, man. There's the hardcore boxing fans and there's the casual fans.
Yeah, very true.
It is. I don't know if that happened with you guys. A lot of casual fans were singing Canelo's praises when, in reality, it's like me knocking out a 14-year-old or something.
Yeah, seriously. No,
exactly
I see that.
But it is what it is. It happened. Canelo got it done. Khan got his respect. And hopefully that GGG fight happens. Felix, main event. I mean, the co-main event. What's his name? Lemieux. David. Isn't it David?
Oh, yeah.
David Lemieux and Glenn Tapia.
His first name is David?
Yeah, David.
Yeah.
I can't remember his first name. David Lemieux took on New Jersey native Glenn Tapia. Glenn Tapia, in my opinion, he shot after that Kirkland fight. He's never been the same, but supposedly Freddie Roach told him that middleweight he can make things happen. Were you satisfied with Lemieux's performance, Felix?
Yeah. I was surprised because, you know, I figured Lemieux might have had some confidence lacking after the Triple G fight himself, but there was nothing. He was the same Lemieux. Like, that fight never even took place, honestly. There was just a mismatch on that side. But, yes, I mean, that's the Lemieux that I've always loved.
Let me ask you something, Felix. Was that David Lemieux looking impressive, or was that Tapia done?
A mix of both. I think it'll mix of both. I think Freddie Roach was right in saying that Glenn Tapia had a better future at middleweight, but I also think they should have put him in there with somebody as tough as David Lemieux right away. With somebody like that you're bringing up, you want to give him some confidence-building fights. You don't want to throw him in there with somebody like Lemieux, who is a monster in there, you know, regardless of...
So you're telling me
So you're telling me that this fight is not as close as some people thought?
Say that again.
You're telling me that this fight wasn't as close as some people thought it was going to be?
I thought Tapia was going to be a little bit more competitive in there, especially after the second round, but I think it was just too early for him. I mean, I think he has the skills to definitely be more competitive with Lemieux, and on paper I can see that, but I think it was way too early for him to get in there with somebody like Lemieux.
So was just Lemieux just outclassing Tapia?
Yeah, I think Lemieux was ready, and he wanted it more,
I think at this moment, Tapia is like a C-plus fighter. Lemieux maybe like a B-plus, A-minus. And
yeah,
I think that quality showed in the ring last weekend. Hector, what did you think about Lemieux?
I thought he looked good, Lemieux. I mean, I saw him during the open media workout in Vegas, and he was looking pretty quick, actually. And Tapia looked good at the media workout, but like, he looked super slow at the actual fight, didn't he?
I think anybody who's good against a boxing bag, probably I could really get to.
He was working the mitts with, Marvin Simodio?
Simodio?
He was probably making him look good, I guess.
Yeah. Probably what would happen, but...
Did you hear what Freddie told him?
What did he tell him?
He's all like, he should hang it up. And he's all like, yeah, but I guess Tapia told him, like, what else can I do? I can't do nothing but box. And Freddie's all, I'll give you a job training or something, like being a trainer.
Nah.
That's a little cold because he's young, isn't he?
Yeah, I think Tapia still has a couple of fights in him. Not a big card. I think he'll be a good gatekeeper if he wants to. And if he keeps winning, he could probably work his way back in. But I don't think he's done. I think he...
Yeah, I still think Tapia has a future. I mean, he's got the heart. And that's, I mean, that alone is, more than half of what you need to be a successful fighter.
Yeah, Felix, but sometimes that could play against you later on in life. And what I think is you match Tapia with somebody in his level next fight. And if he does that again where he's just getting, outworked and he's getting hurt, then maybe it is staying it up. But put him with somebody in his level, because definitely Lemieux is maybe somewhere at the top of the middleweight division, so I think it's a little bit unfair to just base it on this fight. So I think Tapia should get another shot,
Yeah, I agree.
That is what I think. But hopefully Tapia sticks around, man, and he turns things around, because he is a good fighter, young fighter, and exciting. So, and he has heart. So let's see what happens. But let's move on to probably the biggest shocker of the night. I mean, maybe not the result, but the actual fight. Hector, your boy Mauricio Herrera got fooled.
Don't remind me, man.
Hey, we had to talk about it. Sorry.
I know.
What happened? I mean, to me, that was a huge shock. I did not think he was going to get... He caught hands, dude. He caught the beat.
He did, dude. Like, Frankie looked impressive.
I really thought Mauricio Herrera was going to be Herrera and sneak out another win, even if he did not get the win on the cards. I thought we were going to see a vintage Mauricio Herrera fight, but it wasn't.
Well, I was with him after his fight, and he told me that he injured his shoulder in the third round, so I don't know about that. That's what he told me. I mean, he's all, look, and I felt it, and it was, like, a little swollen, but I don't know.
Oh, so he took off his shirt.
I haven't gotten around to seeing the fight on
He
TV,
took off his
so.
Shirt like David Haye took off his socks. And showed everybody his toe. Hey, but did you ask him the real question?
What?
How much did Golden Boy pay him to lay down?
Damn.
Dude, that did not look like Herrera at all. And not even from the third round, if it did happen. It was from the get-go.
Yeah, and it was from the beginning.
Yeah, it was.
Wasn't he doing like a lot of that stepping back, like every time he threw, Frankie, like what Pacquiao does to turn him around? I don't know. I saw that.
I wasn't paying too close attention to it, but it just seemed like Frankie was outclassing Pereira.
Maya, he was.
Did you guys hear, Felix, did you hear HBO crew comparing him to Pacquiao?
I didn't hear that.
They were saying that Freddie Roach said he could be the next Pacquiao and blah, blah, blah. He's got the skills. I mean, I never liked Pacquiao, but dude, come on. You can't compare him to Pacquiao.
How could you have not liked Pacquiao, Mike?
Pacquiao was just pulled because he beat up a Mexican dude. I'm just being honest, man. I mean, it's just like De La Hoya. I never liked him because he beat up my idol Chavez when I was small, you know?
At least you're not saying you don't like him because he sucked. You have a valid reason.
Yeah, man, and he kind of scarred my childhood. But that's neither here nor there. HBO comparing Frankie Gomez to Pacquiao. I don't know what to say about that.
I think you're going to always get comparisons to great fighters. That's just kind of the nature of the business.
Especially if you have the wild card.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, Freddie Roach, I mean, some of the stuff he says is just kind of out there.
That's Freddie Roach, that's all.
Yeah, I think us
so
diehards know.
Frankie Gomez is a big future ahead of him. Hopefully, I mean, he dedicates himself to the sport because we've seen him miss weight by a lot. That fight with La Zorrita, what's his name, Hector? Zorrita Soto? Humberto Soto got canceled because dude was like 15 pounds overweight, wasn't he, Gomez?
I think it was scheduled like at, what, 140?
140, that's what came in like a 150-something.
Yeah, 152, I think.
And like 152, 153, which is...
He says that he wants to campaign at 140, so... I know he wanted to fight Mauricio at, like, 144, I think.
Well, the fight was 144, wasn't it?
146.
No. It was 147, but he came in at 144. Herrera came in at 146.
Fight? No, the fight was at 146.
146?
Yeah.
All right. That's the Cotto weight, one pound under the
one
limit. All right, hey, let me give you guys a test real quick. Whose weight is an easy one, I guess, 1 pound over division? Do you get that?
What do you mean?
No.
Say it again?
Whose weight is 1 pound right over his division?
Canelo,
I think. So whose weight is just a random number?
Mike, we don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I'm having way too fun by myself over here. That was just coming in at some random ass weight.
Who comes in at a random ass weight?
Yeah, Chavez.
Oh.
Chavez Jr. And then 1 pound under the weight, that's the Cotto weight. And right in the middle, that's the Mayweather weight.
Yep.
Just giving you guys some weight history there. Who opened with the card?
James Kirkland. Curtis Stevens.
Curtis Stevens and Patrick Teixeira? What's that?
Teixeira, unbeaten.
The other James Kirkland.
Unbeaten South American prospect,
Brazilian.
Star on the rise. Man, this dude was probably fighting bums back in Brazil, dude, because he was outclassed from the get-go, too.
I actually missed that fight.
Did you guys see that jab that shook him? Felix?
Yes.
And I'm not talking about shook and body. I'm talking about shook like he was scared, dude.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Curtis Stevens caught him with a jab, and he wobbled, and his face was like, whoa.
he was definitely intimidated.
Wait, are you guys on Keisha? You guys know who Keisha Cole is?
Yeah.
She just posted that Virgil Hunter's her dad. What the fuck? I'm fucking serious.
All right, I'm Googling this right now.
Go to her Instagram. I think, unless she's weird.
Keisha Cole won NYC. I was overwhelmed with emotion. I extend one stage to the Barkley situation. I was faced with that at the moment, which was my father and I finding our way to each other after 34 years. I knew at the time a paternity test was in place. Well, the results are in, and this is my father. His name is Virgil Hunter. And at the present time, I have been spending time getting to know him. The story behind this is beyond me. God has his hands all in this. I'm excited, so excited with taking this day at a time.
Wow. What? This is the most random thing I have seen in my life.
Virgil?
Who's Keisha Cole?
R&B singer. Wow, I'm shook that right now.
I'm shook, just like Texera was shook by that Steven dad right now.
Wow. That's anything random. Can happen on this show.
But I don't know.
What? That was weird.
Is she trolling us or?
I don't know.
I have no idea. She's hot too. I freaking love her, but she's also a little bit crazy. And wow, oh my lord! I'm just thinking about it because I don't know if you guys ever watched her show, but her mom is like legit like crackhead. And if Virgil Hunter was smashing that raw at that, like what the? Wow,
yeah, that's a badass Virgil Hunter picture, to be honest though.
You see that? Where do you get those shorts from?
That was balling in the jet plane with his glasses on, throwing up a pose.
Oh, man. Almost has those old man balls hanging out.
Man, that was crazy. That shit was random, big dog.
Wow.
But back to, well, that is boxing technically, huh? Back to Saturday's card. Steven.
Nah, but I missed that fight, dude.
Yeah, Steven looked pretty good, man. I want to see him in there with somebody at middleweight. I think him and Lemieux. Did somebody throw that out there?
Nah.
Or is that just coming to me now?
Yeah, I think a lot of people did that. That out there. Yep.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I think one fight I always wanted to see is Stevens and Kirkland. I know they could make that somehow.
Oh, yeah, that's a good fight right there, too.
Because I always fucking mix them up because they fight the same and they're just both filled with tattoos every fucking day. Like, it's a fight I want to see. And, yes, if you want to pull the race card, they're both black.
Thanks for...
I don't think it'll last that long.
The elephant in the room, Felix.
Exactly, that's what it is.
So yeah, that was Canelo Khan card. It was pretty entertaining, I guess you could say.
Wait, what about the non-televised?
Well, you have to cover that shit.
Yeah, I heard Diego de la Hoya had a good knockdown. I think I actually seen it. I seen the vine.
Yeah, I saw the little highlights, pretty good. Nah, I was outside the arena, dude. I was with the banda. Did you see my video posted?
What? Oh, yeah.
There was a banda right outside the T-Mobile Arena fucking going ham.
Oh,
and then, Hector. And then it started raining and everybody fucking started running away.
What was going on out there?
They had like a little they're playing music out there, Felix. Banda,
wow.
Mexican music.
Yeah. The tamborazo and everything?
You didn't see the video I posted?
Oh, I probably saw it, but I was just going through it.
I might have seen it on Snapchat. But
I put it on Twitter. I threw it on the chat, too.
Oh, yeah, you did. Felix. Hector, tell us about the T-Mobile Arena.
Dude, that's the nicest arena, dude. Of course, it's fucking modern. And people are saying it looks like a big T-Mobile store. Kind of does.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But, yeah, it's a good place. It's a good place for fights, though.
They usually look pretty, so.
Yeah.
It must be pretty.
I think they said it seats around 20,000 for a fight.
Yeah, I think it's 22, because I think Thomas and Max did seat 20.
There was around, 16,500 or something, he said.
The crazy thing, it
looks so empty throughout the fight, dude, until Canelo and Khan was about to start, it got packed.
Well, it's because they were all knockouts. They were in the end it quick.
True that. Like, did it look empty on TV?
Nah, they don't show the wide shots, you know that.
Yeah.
There's two things that I got to say about the T-Mobile Arena. One, I think it's awesome that they have that arena on the strip.
I thought you were throwing out a DX.
No. One, I think it's awesome that they have that on the strip now. I think it's bringing, a lot more traffic and more revenue and more events and concerts and everything, which I don't know how much more you can do in Vegas. But at the same time, the Thomas and Mack Center is literally like a mile down the street. I don't know exactly how far. And the seat's about the same amount of people. So why didn't they make the T-Mobile Arena even bigger?
That's just
my thing.
Thank you for that.
That's my only complaint. I had some fans.
Useless piece of information, Felix.
Oh, you're welcome.
thank you for that enlightenment, I guess you could say. Did you guys catch the Manchester card on Saturday?
Nah, but I wanted to see it, but I couldn't find a working stream for it, I guess.
Stream? Yeah, well, Anthony Crolla.
I thought he was going to lose. I can't believe he fucking pulled it off.
He would retain his lightweight title, beating Ismael Barroso. And who else was on the card? I don't know, it was the heavyweight, wasn't it? Oh, no, the Pulev Chisola. That was in Germany, though. That was a sleeper. And I think I am falling into hipster boxing now, so I'm just going to shut up and move on. Okay, while on the hipster boxing thing, let me just throw out real quick that this is deep into hipster territory. I'm sorry, Felix and Hector. I know Rio Ray was here. He'll be pissed. But Noaya Inoue beat David Carmona. Exciting flyweight.
I didn't see it, but I read that. Did he injure his hand or something?
I heard he went
like all 12 rounds, right? He got a UD?
He got a UD, but I don't know, but that's the fight to happen with. That's an opponent. I'm mentioning this because that's a viable opponent for Chocolatito, everybody out there listening. And Akira Yaigashi also won a 12-round unanimous decision versus Martin Teca Paula. So Mexican taking.
Is that one of Chocolatito's fucking
they both are.
Guides he beat? Both of them?
Oh, he beat? No, he hasn't fought them.
Didn't he fight the Japanese guy?
Yaigashi?
Yeah. No?
I have to look into that, but. Let's step out of hipster territory before we lose more.
Oh, wait. Since we're talking about that, the flyweights and all that. Well, I was in Vegas right after the fight, after I posted my design. I got a little word that Chocolatito wants his fight. Cuadras. What's his first name? Carlos Cuadras? Is that his first name? Carlos Cuadras?
I'll be lying to you if I said that I remembered. I
want
him
but to you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I guess he's moving up in weight.
Huh.
Yeah.
He's 27 years old from
Guamchul, Mexico, wherever the hell that is, and I know I butchered that.
What'd you say, Rancho or what?
Guamichul.
I don't even know how to say that. How do you say that, Mikey?
Guamichul. Oh, man. I think we should just do that for fun and have Felix name the origin of Asian and Mexican fighters. Just for kicks, bro.
I'm down.
You down with that?
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, how about we get into some news and headlines before we leave? Because it's getting pretty late out here. What do you guys think about Vargas versus Brook? They said that a welterweight unification is getting close to getting made. Do you guys like the fight?
I don't like Vargas like anymore.
About Jesse Vargas and Kell Brook, both welterweight champions at the moment. What do you guys think?
I was with them on Friday night with Jesse, and he told me that, yeah, it's being negotiated. So.
And as you guys, as you people at home are noticing, we do have very close sources to the thing, to everything, through Teddy here. So, es chingón el vato, if you want to believe what he says.
I was with him. We're at the Nevada Hall of Fame, some charity event they had going on. That guy from, what's his name? Vince Neil, where's he from? Some fucking, he was there too.
Yeah, whoever that is.
I mean, that's, it sounds like a fun fight, I guess. It is what it is.
I don't like Jesse Vargas.
You don't like Jesse Vargas? Why, because his name was I-E?
No. The only reason I don't like him anymore is because he's turned into a gay bravado on Twitter. He's begging for fights all the time, and that shit is so obnoxious to see.
Yo, talking about begging for fights and Twitter and everything, where's my dude Josecito at? I haven't heard from him in a while.
It was a perfect segue, bro.
That dude was thirsty, dude.
I think he has an injured hand or something.
Remember that one time he crashed that Brandon...
his meet and greet?
His meet and greet just showed up.
Did he?
Like, hey, bro, let me just show up to this real quick. Send some autographs.
Wow.
That's Thirstacito for you. But yeah,
I know.
Other news, Macklin retired today.
Yeah,
I saw that today.
Macklin retiring at the age of 33.
I mean, name your favorite Matthew Macklin fight.
Him getting knocked out by Sergio Martinez.
Yep.
Did he fight Golovkin too, or no?
Yeah, he got knocked out too.
Yeah, like in two rounds.
Yep.
Did Matthew Macklin fight Andy Lee, or was that a fantasy match in my head?
I feel like they did, Macklin Lee, because I remember that hashtag.
I'll Google it
right now.
Let's look through our records.
I don't remember that fight.
I don't remember either, but that just seems like logic that it happened, right, Felix?
It does. I mean, I don't remember most of Andy Lee or Matthew Macklin's fights, but that's just because, I mean,
the only
who really
that
does?
That stood in my mind from Andy Lee was that beatdown by Chavez. That's when Chavez surprised me.
Let's see. No, it didn't happen, actually.
Wow. They should make that happen before.
Hey, wasn't Andy Lee beating Chavez? I thought he was doing pretty good.
Yeah,
he was.
Tapu caught that elbow. Tapu got knocked out. Wow, that fight never happened.
That's crazy.
I think you're getting confused for Lee versus Korobov. Matt Korobov?
No, Andy Lee fought Korobov, and he beat him. He knocked him out, remember?
Yeah.
That's when he got the WBO belt, and then he fought Peter Quillen.
Man, I can't get enough of that damn that knockout that Andy Lee had over
John Jackson.
Yeah, that was, wow. That was like come from behind because John was going in for the kill. Like he had already dropped him, he had him hurt, and man, veteran move.
That was
awesome. Teddy's boy right there, man. That's Hector's boy.
John?
I know his brother, Julius. John.
The chef?
Yeah, the chef. Actually, and he's fighting for a title, for the WC title.
He's fighting one of the Charlos, isn't he?
Yeah, John Jackson is fighting Jermell Charlo.
We're not even going to get into who's who in the Charlos, because I don't even know. So.
I just think they both suck, so.
One of them's aggressive. The one that I had, never mind. I don't think he's the one here.
I don't know who's who either.
So let's not even get into that.
They're fighting, is it next Saturday? Yeah, on next Saturday?
Yeah, I think at the Cosmo. Actually, so this is really stupid, and I actually...
Both Charlos are on that same card, right?
Yeah, and then the anticipated rematch between Lara and Marty Roshan.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm actually looking forward to that one. I don't know why.
I'm predicting a Lara stoppage.
Because you're really? A hipster, that's why.
I don't see that.
Because you're a hipster. You're Fox.
Fuck this show. I'm going to the shop.
When is that fight?
The 21st.
The Saturday next week.
It's a triple header.
Let me look for it.
Three heads. Jermell Charlo and Austin Fish.
Oh, yeah.
Versus...
Fighting Austin Trout.
Yeah.
What? Shumanov is in this card versus TBA. VJ Flores is in this fight versus TBA.
Hell yeah. TBA is putting in that work.
Gary
trying to avenge those Gary.
Man, remember that? Every fucking time Gary Russell would fight?
Man, that was the best. It was like Gary Russell was always fighting like a secret character in Mortal Kombat or something.
Remember? Never mind. I'm not going to throw it out there. But.
Now do it, Hector.
Do what?
Or Mike, whoever it was going to throw it out there.
I thought that. I ain't going to say where I got it from, but. Gabe Russell Jr. versus TBA, a poster, and it was just a silhouette.
I forgot about that.
That's what just came to mind right away.
That was hilarious, bro.
Is that still around?
I don't know, man. I have to look for it.
I'm going to Google it.
But this weekend, I guess, is a TNT card, right? A TMT?
I don't know, there's a lot of fights.
On Showtime in Vegas, Showtime Vegas, that's not TMT to me. BT, Cruiserweight, that's TMT, dude, he's huge. Maurice Lee, he's a pretty wicked dude, too. But there's a couple of fights here and there. BT has a card, too.
I'm actually going to a card on Friday, CBS Sports, on May 20th.
May 20th?
Yep.
The Roy Jones one?
Yeah, the Roy Jones one. Hansel Martinez is making his return.
Our boy Hansel
Martinez.
Homie
Hans?
Yep.
The little tornado?
Yeah.
When
it
is
should
it?
Be fun. It's Friday.
Friday.
May 20th.
I don't see it on the. I guess it didn't even make the ESPN schedule.
It didn't. Just because Dan Raphael is a piece of shit.
Hey. Uncle Ben you're talking about. Take it easy. He blocked me, but it's all good.
Uncle Dan?
Yeah, Uncle Dan.
I caught Uncle Dan right there in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Surprise, surprise. He was eating by himself. Was he snacking on the pudding like Steven Glansberg?
Oh my god.
Steven Glansberg for everybody, super bad reference. But Uncle Dan, man, killing it. You guys have anything else you just want to throw out there?
If anybody has made it this far into the podcast and you're listening from Tucson, I'm going to have a contest. I'm giving away 2 pairs of tickets to the fights next weekend on Friday. So stay tuned to the Facebook page. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do yet, but
I would be doing the contest.
The Roy Jones card?
Yeah, the Roy Jones card.
The one you're going to? Are you giving out, are you butchering a memo and giving out your media credentials?
That would be too funny. No, I'm not doing that.
Okay, I was just double checking. But yeah, man, this is the first episode of the Neutral Corner here on Inside the Ropes Radio Network. We'll be coming to you guys. We don't know when, because it'll just be random podcasts here and there. Hexar's got a pretty hectic life. He's a famous, so you know.
We'll probably have a logo and t-shirts by the next time we do another show.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see what's up. But like always, man, you guys are always welcome to hit us up. Felix, what is your Twitter?
King Felix G.
King Felix G. Teddy.
Hex at Hexar.
Hexar, that's HECZAR, right?
Yes, sir.
Both you go, Instagram and Twitter. Hit him up on Instagram, Twitter. You get to check out his sick boxing designs. And you get to hit me up, too, at Yogi_Mike88 on Twitter.
You got to spell it out.
What is our Inside the Ropes Facebook page?
Facebook.com/ITRBoxing and Twitter.com/InsideTheRopes1. I don't know how that happened, but, you know, whatever. And Instagram, you know, don't even worry about Instagram. We don't touch that.
Feel free to hit us up with questions. Make sure to go to the Facebook page and like it, and that will be the best way to get your questions across to us, and we'll answer some questions on every podcast. So feel free to ask questions, and make sure to download. Is the app still around, Felix?
Yes, app is still up, and also subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/InsideTheRopesBoxing. And if you're in Southern California and you need your lawn done, make sure you hire Memo.
No, we're not going to plug him in. He did
stuff. He's disappeared on us.
ITR Lawns.
ITR Landscaping. But yeah, man, make sure to like the Facebook page, facebook.com/ITRBoxing. @InsideTheRopes1 on Twitter. Download the app for Android and iPhone. It's Inside the Ropes, Felix.
Yeah,
it's ITR Boxing. ITR Boxing. Download the app to get all your news straight to your phone. Or if you're like me, where you don't want people sending you news, but you want to check it out once in a while, just download it and turn off notifications. And whenever you want to look at something, you hop on that app and you'll find the latest results, the latest headlines. It's a great writing staff putting work out there, and of course our boy Lukey putting down some good videos. So yeah, man. Hope you guys like the show. Hopefully you guys keep tuning in. And if you guys got anything else?
Nah, man. I'm excited. The first episode down. This is gonna be fun.
One episode down, probably once to go, and then we'll call it quits. So
no matter.
You guys are listening to history here, so it is what it is, man. Like always, it's your boy Yogi Mike signing off. Felix, Hexar.
Peace.
Peace.
All right, man. Thanks for listening. See you guys later.